Back together again, eh?
Let's play.
I'm going in. Cover me, Porkins.
I'm right with you, Red 3.
But I don't want to be a pirate! Oh!
Marvelous. Absolutely marvelous.
It's more for time!
Will you shut up?
I'm a fucking artist. I'm sensitive as shit. We'll do it live.
This is a big one. I'm coming to join you, honey.
I said give me a hell yeah!
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Do you like a jelly baby?
No! No!
You're listening to The Obscure Gentleman, a weekly podcast dedicated to pop cultural nostalgia. Now on Wednesdays.
Is that our thing now?
Yeah, now we're on Wednesdays. By the way, the comic, which we're connected to, will be on Mondays, so okay. You can look forward to that.
They took our slot, I guess.
Yeah, it's more of a switching of slots, because the comic was being published on Friday. So now it's Monday, we're Wednesday. All
right,
so
cool.
It's all should be good. So I'm your host, Aaron Alvarez, and who might you be?
I'm Alex Mitchell, your co-host.
And today, as we're recording this, it's the day after St. Patty's Day, St. Patrick's Day. So everyone's probably hungover right now. I am not hungover. I really didn't drink at all.
I'm a little tired, but I'm not.
But yeah, so today's episode, it's a little late, but I mean...
That's fine.
It's in the spirit of Monday, of St. Patty's Day, and March in general. I mean, in general, people tend to drink a lot anyways. I wouldn't say a lot. That's kind of...
People drink.
If you drink a lot, that's up to you, I guess. Yes. No judgment here. But yeah, so today, let's just jump right head first into this brick wall, I guess, and kill ourselves.
Another brick in the wall.
Today we're going to be talking about Guinness.
Guinness is good for you. Guinness is good for you. Guinness is good for you.
I'm going to enjoy my Guinness right now.
My Guinness, my goodness.
My goodness.
My Guinness.
Guinness is good for you.
All right, so Guinness, it's a beer that, at least in the United States, it's popular, but it's also, what's the word I'm looking for? Not everyone likes it.
Yeah.
I'd say it's semi-popular.
Yeah, I mean...
It's a dark beer. That's the...
Speaking from personal experience, I believe the first Guinness I ever had, I was hanging out with you.
Yeah.
And I remember not liking it.
That's usually everyone's first, like, anytime they try it first, they're like, what, why does it taste like this?
The taste, I can describe it, it has a very oaky, kind of like, almost burnt flavor taste to it.
I don't get that.
Yeah, you don't know.
But anytime someone says, why does it taste like it's burned, I'm like, no, it doesn't.
It's got a taste, and I'm not saying that's bad, but I think... As an initial, like, startup, it's kind of like, whoa, okay. Like, I want to say this is a lot of people's, like, first kind of foray into stuff that isn't just, like, at least for Americans.
Yeah.
That stuff that isn't just, like Mexican beers or, you know, like Heineken's.
Their first import.
Yeah, essentially.
And it's usually either they stick to it or they just don't ever drink it again.
I mean, we live in California, and you know we have a lot of different craft beers and stuff. A lot of other states.
Yeah, but today we're talking about Guinness, and we happen to have some with us.
Yes, we do. This is a Guinness Extra Stout. From 1759, this was made.
This exact bottle is made in 1759.
So we're just gonna open these up and do a little.
There you go. So, what's the history of Guinness then? Like, what's the background?
Well, as I mentioned, Guinness was just, you know, it's been around for a while now, at least in, like, the company itself.
The 1750s.
Yeah. Well, as it says, 1759. You know, Arthur Guinness kind of started this whole thing at St. James's Gate. So it's from Dublin.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like this national icon of sorts.
No, it is. Okay, to put into perspective how much of a national icon this is, two-thirds of all barley grown in Ireland
is for Guinness.
Is for Guinness. That's two-thirds of their barley. So there are a lot of other beer brands, but two-thirds of it goes straight to Guinness.
Yeah. So I was reading that the only country that outdrinks Ireland in terms of Guinness is the UK.
Oh, wow.
So, and that must, and I think that kind of says a lot about how popular it is still regionally in that kind of area. Yeah. I was in Europe, I want to say maybe 5 years ago. I was in Germany, and you couldn't really find this because it wasn't really big on that. I asked, like, oh, do you have it? And they're saying, no, it's only really for the, you know, the footballers, you know, the lads, as they say, kind of just coming in, you know, so I guess it kind of has its ties to, you know, Ireland and then, you know, Britain to some extent as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes complete sense because Guinness is also known for being one of the first beers that started importing on, like, a grand level compared to any other beer. Because before that, it was always, like, you had like, United States breweries that were doing all across the U.S., but it wasn't really, they weren't really importing their stuff outside of it. But yeah. Guinness decided to sort of launch this thing, and this was way back in the 1800s, of sending their beer, like, basically around all of Europe.
Uh-huh.
And so it's one of the first to do that, and then eventually it made its way to the United States, but...
Do you know when it made its way to the United States? I couldn't find an exact date.
The United States, apparently, it was in a little bit before World War I.
Oh, wow.
So.
So, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. It's one of those beers that, like, when I look at it, like, I don't want it to be like, well, I think of Ireland. And I don't mean that in, like, a negative way, because a lot of people are going to say, oh, you know, you're associating... you know, this alcohol with Ireland, but it's like...
But it should be.
And there's nothing wrong with, you know, claiming a beer that's yours, I think.
Guinness is a sense of pride for the Irish.
Yeah, it's not like It's not like Foster's.
Yeah, Foster's is kind of made fun of by Australia.
Yeah, that was the thing I was curious about when we were kind of like... When I was reading up on this, is that I know that, like... Now I know that the Irish love this beer.
Yeah,
but like that's the thing. It's like you talk about. I was worried that if you were trying to look cool and trying to talk to an Irish dude about Guinness, you'd get mocked. Like, because I know people say, "Oh yeah, Foster's," you know, yeah. Australia.
Well, because it's funny because when you watch any of those YouTube videos of like Irish people try American beers or whatever,
yeah,
they all talk about Guinness fondly. Yeah, and they talk about how that's always what they're drinking and like. And yeah, it is a staple of Irish drinking.
Whereas Australians seem to just kind of shit on Foster's. And, yeah. Yeah. But I think what's interesting about, you know, with Americans is that we tend to kind of look down. I mean, unless we're just having like a game day or something. I don't do these things. But but if we're having like a game day, you know, the big bowl is happening. I don't know.
Americans,
they'll buy like, you know, like a Coors Light or
okay. So something. The thing yeah. about American beers, and we're gonna only touch this briefly, is that they tend to prefer their beers more watery, more not tasting like water. What I'm saying is like less hoppy.
They don't want to feel like they're full of bread. Essentially,
the point of like a nice pint as like how it used to be, yeah. is that it pairs well with your meal, and it's something that you can relax to. Yeah. Whereas American beers are more just like chug them,
yeah,
chug them
okay. down. That's the thing. It's like, you know, we're sipping these down, you know, and it goes down just smooth.
Okay, here's the thing about Guinness: you do not chug. You're not supposed to chug.
I don't see why you would, because it's already pretty foamy at the top.
No, well, yeah, and I'll get more into the whole foam aspect in a bit,
but like
you're not supposed to chug it. You're not supposed to binge on them.
I mean, and I noticed that I'm noticing that now with, like, you know, craft brews over here is that they don't want you to chug these things. They want you to relax, you know, they want you to finish your beer.
So that's essentially a difference in cultures, whereas, you know, because alcohol, when it was in Europe way back in the day, the whole reason, like, alcohol was even created was because water was so poisonous. So they invented this alcohol, and it was supposed to basically substitute a meal as well. So it's this heavy, hearty stuff you're supposed to drink.
Yeah.
And eventually it got lighter and lighter, and then especially in America, it's sort of just, it's a liquid. You just keep going and going.
Yeah, and that's why you see people buying, like, big friggin' pitchers of it.
Whereas, like, the traditional, like, tall boys for Guinness, it's 4 cans.
Yeah.
That's traditional. It's 4 cans, and it's not meant for just you. It's meant for you to share with your mates, as they say.
Yes.
Going back to Guinness, what else did you find out
okay, so
about the genesis of...
The Genesis, is essentially what happens here, you know, it's not, like, the way I was talking about that burnt flavor, right?
Yeah.
That's not, like, an old school thing, apparently.
Okay, yeah. So, apparently, from what I've come to understand is this. Guinness did it different from all the other brewing companies at the time.
Okay.
And what other brewing companies used to do is their barley, they would wait until it's golden brown. And sometimes they would let it become just normal brown. Guinness, though, on the other hand, decided we are going to make ours like really toasted. So essentially what they would do, they would roast their barley till it became like coffee grounds, which is what gives Guinness that signature really dark color. But because of that, it releases a certain amount of sugars, and it gives it a different taste than most dark beers had at that time. Now most dark beers have tried to sort of copy this formula.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe that's why I'm not as... I think as my appreciation for different beers has kind of grown, I don't dislike Guinness the way I used to.
Yeah.
Because the only other beer I ever really had at that time, you know, was whenever my dad would share, like, a Budweiser. My dad's big on Budweiser. It's funny, though, because, you know, whenever I introduce, you know, just something simple like a Heineken or even just a Guinness, yeah. He's like, whoa, this is pretty cool. So he's... I love my dad, but he's completely unaware of how many beers exist.
And that's the older generation when it comes to beer. Like they just
our generation loves drinking different beers. And,
but yeah, so their method of making it was a lot different.
Yeah,
and they included they were one of the first beers to include nitrogen.
Yes, and that is what gives like the foam.
Okay, so the whole foam thing is part of what's called the perfect pour.
Which is weird, because I took a bartending course, and they always taught us, you know, the perfect pour is essentially because you angle your glass at a certain way, so you get as little foam as possible.
And see, here's...
And I think that's interesting.
Thing, yeah. So the perfect pour is different from what Americans or the countries in general might consider the perfect pour, because the point with Guinness is you want that layer of foam at the top. You want the foam head. So,
yeah.
The perfect pour for a Guinness is you hold the glass at a 45-degree angle, and you essentially open the tap till it reaches the 3/4 mark, which is at the harp head.
Yeah.
The top of the harp head. Okay.
So I'm assuming these are going to be served in an actual Guinness glass then.
Yes. Okay. And that's... You really should do that. But there's also another type of glass you can... it's like a rose bulb or something like that. It's called...
Oh, okay.
A tulip bulb. Okay. Oh. So you stop it at the harp. And then after you stop at the harp, you let it sit. The bartender has to let it sit for just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it's doing it is because the bubbles in there need to start...
falling, right?
No. They're It's weird. Guinness, the bubbles rise, and then in the center they fall.
Ah, yeah.
Okay, so then right when they know it starts to settle, then they put it under again, and they give it a soft tap, but in the opposite direction... and what that does is it creates that foam effect,
okay.
And you level it off right to the head. You don't put it over the head; it has to be right, basically to the edge, the little edge.
Yeah.
And then once it's served, the patron who has it needs to also let it set for just a little bit. So you're watching this weird cascade effect where it's a reverse cascade where it looks like everything's like crawling up. While the center goes down. And so once it becomes pitch black, once it becomes like the Guinness with the perfect foam head, the tradition is you get the beer, you drink under the foam, so you try to angle it where the foam stays on top, and you have to stare towards sunset. You don't stare at your beer.
This is so weird.
And that's apparently how Arthur Guinness used to drink them. It was a perfected method.
And I'm reading like some tweets from I think their actual Twitter page that the foam mustache is something you should be proud of.
Yes, yeah. So because the thing is, you don't want the foam to go in your mouth. You want it to line your lip.
Yeah.
So it's a nice like comfort thing. And
So this is a comfy beer, is what you're saying.
It is. It's a cozy, comfy beer.
All right.
And here's another interesting fact I found out. So, going on saying, but there's so much barley being used. The other thing is, 3 million pints are made every single day.
3 million pints every day.
And the Guinness factory in Dublin is one of the largest beer factories in the world.
Okay, so I guess that you can answer this for me then. So there's no, is there like a Guinness factory here that we have, or is this everything is actually really?
It's there's no Guinness factory in America.
Okay, because I know a lot of times like some like Sapporo is made in Canada. like
that's the one thing about Guinness and their company, because I mean they're owned by a larger conglomerate that owns like Captain Morgan and a bunch of other and they even own Smirnoff and stuff. But the thing about the actual Guinness factory is that they've constantly over the years been offered like, why don't you just, it's cheaper to move it there.
They
don't want to, because the thing is they don't want to risk like losing their barley flavor that they have, because their barley that they get, it's like it's from local homegrown barley farms. And if they were to risk, you could actually lose that sweet, that it's almost a weird sweet taste that it has underneath. Like, I wouldn't say chocolatey. I hate the term chocolatey when it comes to
beer. I know, because your thing's like, well, it doesn't really taste.
It's chocolate. You don't misuse the term chocolate. Yeah. There's an underrated sweetness to Guinness.
Yeah.
That a lot of people don't get, because they just think it tastes like burn. It's like, it's not that it tastes like burn. It's just that you're not used to drinking beer that has like
this kind of
like a flavor that's not just barley and hops.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of hops, to be honest.
American beer is very hoppy. Like, it's really hoppy.
And then they have like, oh, double the hops, triple the hops, and it's too much sometimes.
Yeah,
I don't know. And also I think that's cool that they're doing that. Like, I feel like if you move out of Ireland, even though you're still an Irish beer, I feel like you're not just an Irish beer anymore. You're now you're like, oh, we're in America. We're in, you know, Bruges. I don't know. It's like, it doesn't have that national, like, identity anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like,
you don't think, wait, what?
Like, what I'm saying is, like, if, okay, say,
like, you think Guinness doesn't only belong to the Irish?
No, I'm saying, I think it should, to some extent.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I don't think it should be, like, have factories, you know,
all across that's the world. Okay, you know, I mean, and that is something that kind of happens, because of globalization, and because of just people wanting to have a cheaper product and make more money. Guinness, on the other hand,
it's not that expensive, though. I mean, it's
no, but the thing is, it's in terms of like them making more money by reducing costs by making it in Mexico or something like that.
Yeah.
They've refused over the years, and they have no plans on.
I think it's pretty cool
moving it anywhere anytime soon. But their factory is gigantic. It was featured in National Geographic's Mega Factory series,
really?
Which deals with like the largest factories on Earth. And Guinness is an amazing giant compound, and they make all the different varieties there.
Okay. So you want to touch on those real quick then?
Sure.
Okay. So right now, we're not actually drinking the normal Guinness draft. We're drinking
an extra stout.
Yeah. I don't see any problem with this one. It reminds me of the other one, but without more of that oakiness that I'm used to. There's something about it I like more. So yeah, we have the original extra stout. We have foreign extra stout, which I guess is sold in Europe, Africa, Asia.
Africa's really big for Guinness, like the coast of Africa. Yeah. The Ivory Coast.
Yeah, so English bitter. Yeah, it's supposed to be more bitter than that. But I guess what they're doing now in America is they're selling like these blonde lagers. And then there's like, I think it's called like American IPA.
There's special different seasonal varieties.
Yeah.
And the thing though is they're not immensely popular.
Yeah, I was looking for Guinness yesterday because it was St. Patrick's Day, you know. And I look and I see like all like the blonde lagers are all here, you know, the IPA, Guinness is all here. The extra stout was hard to find and the Guinness draft was completely gone.
Yeah.
So I think that says a lot about maybe about how popular, you know, the Guinness brand is, initial beer.
I really do think Guinness is one of those brands that they really don't need that. They shouldn't really have much variety.
I know why they're doing it, but
I mean, they're trying to expand their market.
Yeah, but I don't think I don't think it's going to work out, to be honest.
No, I mean, this has been going on since, like, 2009.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, I mean, this has been going on for a while. Like, since the 250th anniversary, they've been kind of doing this. They've been releasing new products and testing them
out.
But,
I mean, do they work?
No, they sell okay, but they're not, like... The thing is, the reasoning is they want to sell more in America. Because, again, their biggest profits are in the UK and in Ireland, obviously. Yeah.
They both outsell American, like...
Well, of course.
Yeah. But when you think about it, that shouldn't be the case. Because, you know, there's a relatively large Irish, you know, populace.
But the thing is... Most Americans, even Irish Americans, they are used to the American types of beer. So
that's why they're green, right?
Yeah.
On St. Patrick's Day, those, because you can't dye a Guinness like that. I think it's got to be like one of those.
You can't.
Yeah.
But when you, some people do put the food dye in a Guinness.
Isn't that just gonna make it look just like sludge?
It only looks green when you hold it up to like direct bright light.
Okay.
But like a dark, dark green. So it doesn't really matter, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they basically want to appeal to more American tastes.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's really taking off.
Yeah.
I know that there are some people who like have tried them. Like, I've never tried any of their blonde ones.
I felt like trying it, but I was like, you know what? That's not really.
I feel like it would be a waste. I think of an actual Guinness.
Because it's like, oh, this tastes like an American beer.
To me, if a Guinness isn't dark, there's no point.
Yes.
It's like, it's that dark, somewhat sweet beer. Like, it's weird. It's not, like, directly sweet. Like, there's no, it's not like a, but it's like.
There's something about it, and I can't tell you what it is exactly, but it is what you're saying. There's a hint of like, a sugar to it. It's not, it's not chocolate. I don't want to say that.
I still don't know what that means.
I've had a chocolate soda. And I could say, yeah, that tastes like chocolate in a soda.
To me, when I think chocolate, I'm thinking of like chocolate milk or hot cocoa, like
that
sort of taste.
Or at least like Abuelita's, you know, that kind of thing. But like, no, I don't like the whole chocolatey beer kind of thing.
Yeah, but with Guinness,
we're getting.
I do really believe if it's not black, there really is no point to it.
Yes,
it's a dark beer. It's don't be ashamed of being a dark beer. But
yes.
But that's the thing. Guinness is
be
so
black and be proud.
Guinness is very, it's tied with St. Patrick's Day, like completely.
Yeah, that and those shitty green beers that I was talking about.
Well, that's more
in America.
Yeah, but in Mexico they drink Guinness on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, cool.
In Africa they drink Guinness year round. It's a well known beer that a lot of people when they do try it there. They have a spit take of like, why is it so burned? Yeah.
But I think once you just kind of learn to appreciate it,
it's not even that. I think once you actually like get it, like actually taste it, and not just like the immediate reaction.
Yeah, because that was the thing too. Because when I first had it with you, it wasn't like a sip. It was like when you're holding a beer, you just take a little sip. And then, whereas if you open up, I don't know, like a Budweiser, your bottle is clearly lifting higher.
And you're going, yeah.
That's what I did, and that was the problem.
The only time that I guess you can do that is when you're doing a car bomb.
Okay.
Would you do not?
Yeah. Okay.
If
so,
you're ever in Ireland, do never ask for an Irish car bomb.
Is there okay? So is there a name you could say without, or will they automatically know?
You're gonna say Guinness with Baileys.
Guinness with Baileys. Okay.
You do. Even
some places here don't like that.
If you go to an Irish pub, you do not ask for a car bomb.
Yeah.
But especially if like the owner's Irish, but if you're in Ireland, don't ask for a car bomb because you're probably gonna get the shit kicked out of you.
Yeah.
And for those who don't realize why it's even called an Irish car bomb, there is this organization called the IRA, who were fighting for Irish independence from
a lot of people got hurt, and let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. So, car bombs. My thoughts on them are like,
you've had a couple, right?
Yeah. And my thoughts are like, cool. But then it's like,
I think my problem with it is that like, because initially when you know I first started drinking, you told me about this. I'm like, but I don't like chugging down alcohol like that.
But you have to.
Because, the Baileys, which has, you know, cream and dairy in it, will curdle.
Because once it becomes in contact with the highly nitrogen content of the beer, of the Guinness, it automatically goes into the fermentation process and curdles.
Yeah.
And so you have to drink it down fast, or else you're going to get a mouthful of curdled cream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no one wants that.
Oh, no one wants that. But yeah, it is interesting, and I think a more interesting impact of, besides it being for St. Patrick's Day, is their advertising.
Okay.
So, beer companies have always had a huge history with advertising. Guinness, though, they got into it late in the game. The company really didn't start advertising until the 1950s.
Okay.
Prior to that, it was just like people will buy it because it's there sort of mentality. Until they were convinced, no, you got to start advertising. So what started, it was called the Zoo Campaign. And this is where the genesis of so much stuff happened. So there's two phrases that are completely now forever tied with Guinness. The first one is Guinness is good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is my goodness, my Guinness. Okay.
Yeah.
So Guinness is good for you. Started with right before 1955, their print campaign. They went around Ireland in the UK asking people, you know, why do you like Guinness? And some people said, well, you know, it's really good. It tastes good. And someone said, well, you know, it's really good for me. It gets me going and stuff. So they ran with that. And initially, it wasn't supposed to be a slogan. It was part of an advertisement. And Guinness is good for you was just thrown in there. But that caught on. And it's kind of interesting because throughout the 50s, the main appeal of Guinness or what they were using in their advertising was that Guinness is a healthy drink.
Yeah.
So it's like super old school, like 1800s style, like advertising,
like Coca-Cola and
try some, a Coke, yeah, you'll yeah. feel good, yeah, like okay. that sort of thing.
I got you.
So they were even in their commercials saying that pregnant women can drink it and they'll feel good.
Okay.
But again, it's not binge drinking.
Oh no.
But it's still, you're pregnant, do not drink a Guinness.
No.
At all. That's how babies get fetal alcohol syndrome, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah, I mean,
but, I don't know. But anyways, so that campaign of Guinness is good for you happened, and then that led to, like, Guinness makes you strong, and it's hilarious seeing all these ad campaigns, because it's, like, hardworking people drinking and, like, lifting things.
And yeah, and I've noticed, like, Newcastle kind of recently has been kind of doing that, too.
Yeah.
I'm noticing a lot of beer companies that whenever they, if they're not trying to advertise, you know, a train made out of ice, you know, flying through, you know, then they're trying to do the whole, you know, hardworking people.
Coming, oh, but see, that's the thing.
Coming together, or even more so now, I'm noticing like hardworking craftsmen coming together to make this beer.
And see, the thing with Guinness, that it wasn't about like this is for hardworking people.
No, I know.
But it was more that this will help you if you work hard. This will help you if you're a mother. This will help you if you're a baby kangaroo.
The baby kangaroo demographic was
pretty but like, and it was really interesting because Guinness is good for you. It struck a chord, and they even produced all the zoo commercials. So the zoo commercials were the most famous one was a toucan. It was a toucan commercial.
Okay.
And it had a bunch of military guys, and they had all their Guinness, and it's like a little cartoon. It's like a UPA style cartoon. And they're all drinking their, and then all of a sudden, the sirens go off and the toucans are flying like jets, and yeah, and then some guy goes, "My goodness," and yeah, and then it's for Guinness, and the birds are drinking and stuff.
Okay.
And then there was the Guinness is good for you commercial, and it was like a song with flamenco music, and it was like it was ostriches dancing.
These are very Irish images. I'm
it's ostriches dancing, and with Guinness is good for you. And then the ostrich goes, "My goodness," and then the guy goes, "My Guinness," and that's how that was born. So then the TV campaigns happened. The most famous one, though, besides the toucan, the most famous live action one was a sea lion balancing Guinness on his nose.
Okay.
And that became a big thing for their print campaign too. So all of a sudden, Here's the difference between American advertising for beer and for what Guinness was. American advertisement for beer is like, good time, wild party.
And no one's ever drinking beer.
Well, because you can't, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the Irish method was and still is different, where it's like relaxation, being laid back, not worrying, just after a hard day's work, you just you sit down, you have your Guinness, and it's just, it's really good.
Yeah.
And that's what their commercials emphasize. They emphasize, like, things can be exciting even if you're, you know, you're just sitting down, laying back, like, having a row with your mates, as they say.
Yes.
And it's a lot different from, like, party time, ladies!
Yeah. The only other American beer commercial that I can think of that does what Guinness is talking about, relaxation, is Blue Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything else is, or maybe Shock Top.
But, like,
everything else is, like I said.
But that's a more recent trend.
Yeah.
Is that beers are starting to finally, beer advertisers are starting to realize you don't always need to show, like, everyone's wild and party.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it shows the difference in beer culture, because at least with Guinness is the...
Well, you got to look at our beer culture, our alcohol culture. In general, it's a lot different than in Europe.
So. Well, I mean, you look at our founding fathers, how they handled alcohol. It was a lot different from other people.
Yeah.
It was, let's just get fucked up all the time, and let's throw fire bombs into printing presses.
And Benjamin Franklin's going to have sex outdoors or something.
Apparently, the Constitution was drafted while they were intoxicated as
While drinking draft.
So, I mean, but it is really awesome seeing how their advertising has played out, because you even look at more modern Guinness commercials, and there is still that sense of, like, the pub and, like, just fun forever. Fun, but not in a...
fun, but not too much.
It's not in a... A smash your face in sort of fun.
Yeah.
It's more of a just like a, everyone's smiling, wearing a nice knitted sweater.
Yeah.
Everyone looks like Colmini. everyone's having a nice pint. Like that, sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, the culture of Guinness and how it's affected pop culture, though, is interesting, because, like, when people think of the Irish, they think of them as loud, rowdy drinkers. That's more of a UK thing.
I do associate that more with, you know, hooliganism and all that.
And that's the weird thing, because Irish drinkers, it's more of a, it is more of a laid back eating with your, drinking with your meal sort of thing, or just like downtime. Whereas UK drinking culture is the rowdy sort of footballer, we're gonna glass you in the face, sort of mentality. So it is interesting to see how the
big puffy jackets.
But what's funny is most Irish stereotypes come from not Ireland. They come from the Irish who came to America.
Yes.
And most of them were bullshit stereotypes. Like most stereotypes. It's like,
yeah.
It's like they saw Irish people drinking because, hey, they're working like fucking dogs and they just want to drink.
Because but it's like, after a long, hard day.
How dare you, sir, drink?
Yes.
You damn Irish.
Yes.
Like that sort of bullshit.
This is a night for Americans.
Yeah. Irish go home.
Yes.
They need not apply. So they'll go fly from Mexico. But yeah, I don't know. What are your thoughts on Guinness as a cultural thing?
For us or for them?
For us, at least.
For us, I think it's cool that, like, we're... To me, it's like, it's what America should be about, which is, like... Different things coming to this country, you know, appreciation for it regardless of its origin or, you know, how people drink it. I know some people will want to chug this, but you shouldn't.
You should never chug Guinness. And I can't make that clear enough. Do not do it, because here's the thing.
You'll hate it.
Not just that, you're going to feel full as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, because Guinness is heavy. It's very heavy, and you're gonna have a bad time. You're gonna be like, why does my stomach feel horrible?
So basically, it's what I should have done with that Shock Top, which made me want to die. that's a different story. No, you know what though? I mean, I don't ever see people at the bar really order this that are like looking to get crazy messed up. It's always the kind of quiet dude, you know, or maybe a guy and his girlfriend just, you know, chilling.
Well,
it's never the girls doing shots, you know, or the guys, you know, just pounding.
And that's because the people want to get fucked up. They're either going to order hard liquor, but if they're going to order beer, it's going to be like the piss water.
Yeah.
That's real, and that, you know, that I'm not saying American beer is piss water. I'm just saying that's the term of endearment.
Yeah.
For American, it's piss water that they order. And also, it's usually cheaper. And it goes down super fast. So you order like a bunch of Coronas. It's like,
oh, I'm crazy now.
Yeah,
I'm in crazy mode.
With a Guinness, you feel like putting on a flat cap, sitting in the corner.
Yeah. Talking about the troubles and, you know, just,
talking about the famine.
Yeah.
Back home, but, all the family.
Yeah.
They're all there.
The wee children, Mr. Thompson.
I got 5 children working in the factories.
This is all racist.
it's true, though.
They had to send their children to the factories.
It's true. Yeah, Guinness has been brewing sought-after beer since 1759. Today, Guinness is enjoyed in over 150 countries. Experience the robust, mellow, and satisfying flavor.
And there's 150 or more to see, but you still gotta catch them all or something.
Yes, and be the best that you can be.
Guinness is like Pokemon in many ways.
Yes, although these are countries and not beers. But, it's just a nice, like we said, it's a comfy beer. I can't really think of... I can think of a few beers that kind of give me that same thing. No, that's the thing.
Like,
but
even though we're hype-talking Guinness, because, I mean, it, of course, because it's about
that. I think the ones that have the most enjoyment to me are similar to Guinness.
But I think the difference with Guinness compared to all the others that are similar to it is no other beer can kind of... has this taste.
Yeah.
And that's because their method of brewing is so vastly different, and because their machines are so gigantic, and the process is just...
It's different.
You know, it's complex. It's a little more complex. So if you're a microbrew, which microbrews make a lot of these, like, these darker beers, they can't really sort of match that. There's no way for them to do that. And also... They're not using the same exact ingredients from this place that Guinness has been using for over 250 years. Yeah. I mean, and that's true. Like, they've been getting their barley for over 250 years. So,
all the microbrews out there, you shouldn't try to imitate Guinness. You know, Guinness. You guys need to do your own thing, and a lot of them do.
A lot of them do their own thing.
Yeah,
but Guinness, I think, will always be. I mean. To be honest, I'm not much of a beer drinker.
No, you're not, and you've expressed to me before that you think that a lot of these other beers don't do much for you in terms of this.
I think most beers taste bad. That's just me. That's my personal opinion. There are some that I do,
and you find a lot of them to be too similar in taste to kind of really.
And it's just sort of like this doesn't have enjoyment to me. I mean,
yeah.
I'm fine with Stella Artois.
Yeah.
I'm okay with Shock Top.
Not me.
And Blue Moon, I'm also okay with.
I like Blue Moon.
Other than that, it's like, yeah, I'm all over the place. But Guinness, I will always be like, if they have, if a bar has Guinness, that's my beer.
Yeah.
Lately, I've been more into like ciders and stuff because
they're just sweet.
It tastes like you're drinking candy.
Yeah.
And it's like who doesn't like
that? Who can hate that? Really?
But like when it comes to beer, it'll always be Guinness. And I do prefer it when it's poured into poured a nice pint compared to a bottle.
Yeah, we're just drinking these out of the bottle. But
it's not a fancy time or relaxation at the pub.
I mean, that's my thoughts on Guinness.
My goodness.
Yes, my Guinness.
But for those who are listening, do check out the classic advertisements. I mean, the posters are beautiful. They're done in a marvelous style, and they're really simple. It's just zoo animals, there's crocodiles.
Things
lions.
I don't associate with the Irish or Guinness.
It's like crocodiles, sea lions, toucans. Just a bunch of different zoo animals. There's one with a...
This sounds like a cereal, like, commercial.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, I mean, this is the first time into advertising, but they did preach the whole antioxidants. They were one of the first companies to do this, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
They made people aware that Guinness has antioxidants, so, you know, it'll be good for your skin, good for your health.
I feel good.
The thing is, basically, because you drink Guinness so slow... It gives you that nice warm buzz, and
yeah,
it's because you're sipping off of it throughout like a pint throughout like a few hours for like not a few hours like an hour, you have that constant level of like comfiness and warmness and like chipperness and cheery, Whereas any other beer, you're chugging it, and it's like,
wrong. Yeah, like Steel Reserve is don't ever drink Steel Reserve.
Why would you? No, why would? But you? That is literally bread. That feels like bread in a can.
It's canned bread.
It feels like someone took a loaf of bread, put it in a blender, and then they put it in an orange press and took it all the liquid, and then you're drinking that.
Yeah,
it's gross.
Yeah, there's nothing comfy about a Steel Reserve.
No, there's nothing, or a Sidewalk Slam, or any of those. Just
Sidewalk Slams are fun.
Treat your beers like a
You would a pal.
Like you would drink your pal.
No, but think about it. You wouldn't like rush your pal. Into let's go do this and that. You and your pal just want to chill and talk about the good times,
Let the good times roll.
Yes. Let the good
times roll. So we're, now that we've sort of shared about the history and the community of Guinness and all of it that makes it it. Yes.
It's it.
We're bringing back something we haven't done in 3 weeks, I feel like.
Yeah.
That's mainly because we've been tackling big franchise concepts.
Yeah.
So let's head on to the comments. But first, before the comments, what does our editor-in-chief have to say? Our head writer, our grand poobah, our...
The Sultan of Swing.
The Colossus of...
Rhodes.
Of Rhodes.
Of Dusty Rhodes. Yes. There you go.
Okay. So, James has this to say. I'm not a fan of beer, but the only beer I am a fan of is Guinness. It's got a dark and thick taste that probably comes from the fish bladder they may or may not use. This is my beer of choice, however, it comes with baggage for me. It's also the beer of choice for people with a small percent of Irish blood to make them feel more Irish. People like me! Seriously, though, it's a great beer that only hardcore people drink to make them feel whole again. People who feel tough when playing Dropkick Murphys and wearing wife beaters like a goddamn Marky Mark character from the 90s. I'm talking about serious Marky Mark, not this hanging out with robots and teddy bears Marky Mark.
Yes.
My brothers and I guess my family.
Yeah, you're Irish.
We're a quarter Irish. Yeah. The rest is Mexican-American.
Yeah.
So, that's what he means by that. He kind of has a point there.
Yeah, I didn't want to talk about that, but I guess...
But, I mean, it is one of those things, when you do have Irish blood in you, or you're Irish-American, or any of that thing, it does sort of make you feel like...
Yeah.
I've gone home again, and I'm living on the nice shores.
Yeah. It's one of those things. I don't know if I'm doing a Darby O'Gill sort of stuff.
Darby O'Gill.
when most Irish people do not sound like that, The two cans are here, by the way.
Yeah, they are.
The Guinness two cans.
I mean, I think St. Patrick's Day and Cinco de Mayo, whenever these things occur...
Cinco de Mayo does not make me feel more Mexican-American.
Makes me feel more Mexican-American.
You know why it doesn't? Because Cinco de Mayo, I just think of white people wearing sombreros. It's weird. I don't think of actual Mexicans celebrating it.
I've been to a few parties that prove that wrong. But
the general image is white people going, woo, good day to be a Mexican.
That's how I feel about St. Patrick's Day too. It's
it clearly is the same thing.
Yeah.
It really is.
The difference is at least in St. Pat in Ireland they celebrate it there.
Yeah, and they do not celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
Not really.
One city does.
Where it happened.
Which we may do an episode one day. Maybe we'll talk about Tecate.
Yeah, no, that'll be
that
fun.
That doesn't deserve an episode. No, I'm okay with Tecate, but it does not deserve an episode. Doesn't. There is that. I mean, for Irish Americans or people who have Irish blood, there's that sort of thing.
Blasting, flogging Molly,
I like a good flogging Molly. All
right.
Yeah, and Dropkick Murphys.
The Pogues.
I'm okay with the Pogues. All
right.
But,
those are the only three Irishish bands that people can name.
Tin Lizzy.
Oh, that's a real Irish band, though.
Those others aren't Irish bands.
I don't know if the Pogues are, but they are.
Wait,
no, they're from Britain. I think
one of them's Irish.
Flogging Molly and Dropkick Murphys are from America. I mean, that doesn't mean
are they?
Yeah, they are. That doesn't mean they're not Irish, but they're
they sing with a broke.
Yeah, they do, and that's why I'm kind of you don't need
that. See, that's weird.
That's deceptive.
So going into the comments.
Yes.
Okay. So we start off, and I got these all from 4chan.
Oh, cool.
Because
this is gonna be fun.
The comments on YouTube.
I like a good pint, yeah. Like this comment.
It's because it was mostly Happy St. Patrick's Day, or it's
good to be Irish.
Yeah. Here's the first one. Rusty Copperwater. Okay, that was mean. I didn't really mean that. It's overrated, though.
I understand.
I
do get that.
The overratedness, though, I kind of feel it's not underrated or overrated because I feel not enough people drink it for it to be overrated. Like, I think you can say that on St. Patrick's Day, maybe, because everyone's drinking Guinness.
Yeah, like I have these because of St. Patrick's
Day. It must be awesome to see the sales charts for Guinness in America, because the whole year it's probably steady, and then all of a sudden St. Patrick's Day, boom, it's like through the roof. Okay, the next one. I like it. Most people will say,
I prefer the stout from my little unheard of microbrewery. Guinness is a crap, dude.
That doesn't annoy me when people are like, oh, well, my microbrewery is like so much better.
Again, that I didn't get these because, you know,
It just,
God damn it.
Look, there's nothing wrong with microbreweries or like local independent breweries. A lot of them are awesome.
Just don't be a dick about it.
The thing is, you get a lot of snobs where it's like, I'll only drink from the microbrewery, yes. Like that, those kind of people.
Yeah.
Mr. Howell, for instance.
Yes, he was pounding down, you know, stone, you know, when he was in the island, you know.
Lovey, get me my stone. Oh, dear God. But yeah, I mean, you know what? Don't be a snob with your beer.
It's beer. I mean, like, it's shit that makes you act like an asshole or a dumbass when you drink
it. Or a nice, comfy man.
Or that, too.
Because sometimes you're comfy when you... People are comfy. You're not comfy when you're drunk.
I can be.
No, you cannot. You become like a macho man yelling maniac.
That's when...
You know what?
That's when there's too much
drinking leads you to macho mania.
Yeah, macho madness.
That's the disease.
That's the disease.
Wasn't it Macho Mania when him and Hulk Hogan teamed up?
Maybe.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was Macho Mania.
Hogan's dead to me.
He's not Heroes anymore?
No.
Okay.
We gotta keep going.
Alright. I live in Hipster Beer Central, North Park, San Diego, and I still prefer Guinness, a beer I can't get around here because it's too mainstream.
Of course. And that sucks.
It does, but it's like, we're only offering Angel's Flight. It's like, Angel's Flight I don't think is a beer. It's Angel City Beer Brewery.
Angel City Brewery. Not a fan.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. It does suck when it's like, you don't have your
options.
Because it's like, no, we just serve only... Like, all right, so... Next one. If someone took black coffee with sugar, added a thickening agent, and then carbonated it, shit's nasty and doesn't even taste like beer. Well, it
does remind me of a beer. Just
it tastes
not.
Like it tastes like a different kind of beer. All right, tastes like thin, watery, weak coffee.
Water.
I see this coffee comment a lot, and I don't understand.
I kind of get what they're saying because we did mention the coffee kind of roast taste a bit earlier, but.
I don't like coffee.
Neither do I.
So, I love this.
Maybe you'd like a coffee that tasted like this.
An alcoholic coffee. No, thank you. Get that coffee out of my face.
Well, they do have Kahlua and stuff.
And watery. Like, Guinness is not watery.
No, it's a beer that is very thick.
Yeah. Okay. It's my go-to when there isn't a hipster beer that doesn't sound nasty. Fruit beers are not real beers, in my honest opinion.
He's kind of got a point.
Never had a fruit beer. What is a fruit beer?
He's talking about like Angry Orchard.
That's a cider. Yeah, that's not a beer.
But he's talking. But a lot of people think they're beers.
Oh well, that's crazy because it says cider. Okay. Okay. I think people just drink it as a tradition these days. Just like how I'm probably going to end up eating the same old boiled corned beef and cabbage again tonight. That nobody dared to change in decades. It's true. No, you know what? He's right. It's true.
For Americans,
especially for St. Patrick's Day,
it's a tradition. It's like, you know, you have your corned beef and cabbage, or your shepherd, not shepherd's pie.
Actual shepherd inside.
Yes. No,
that's the second Sweeney Todd reference I've made.
I've seen it where it's like Guinness stew.
Oh yeah, people do that. People make Guinness stew. They make Guinness bread.
So Guinness in itself has like its fair place in like cooking.
Culinary institutions.
Yeah, which is cool.
My goodness.
My Guinness. I would love to try Guinness. Oh, you know what? No, I have. There's an Irish pub in Arcadia, to any Californians listening, called Matt Denny's, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, I'd be down to try some Guinness-flavored meats and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it burns away the alcohol, but I'd be down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which would be nice right now.
Starbucks Guinness tastes like arse.
All right. I mean, I imagine that the tap and the bottles are a tiny bit different.
From what my understanding is, you want to actually get it from the tap most of all. That's really where you want to get it from, because that's where the perfect pour comes in.
Yeah.
And where it tastes the most magical. Because it does taste magical.
Alright.
Like the leprechauns of Ireland. Because they have tons of leprechauns there.
Yes, they do. And demons and...
Wicked banshees.
Finn McCool and Balor and...
A giant cross the giant causeway. Back in ancient Ireland.
I have no idea what's going on right now.
Finn McCool.
Yeah. Demons...
Finn McCool, it's the whole legend of the...
I know what Finn McCool is. That's why I brought it up.
Did you? Okay.
I did.
Guinness is its own thing. Sometimes it's nice to have a light, somewhat creamy, not too intense drink. Not every stout has to be tar pit dinosaur bone ooze. But he's right. Not everything has to... Thing I think about a lot of dark beers, like... homebrews or even when Americans...
They're just so dark. And it's just dark and heavy.
When Americans try to do them, they almost overcompensate where it's fuck, this tastes like the goo from Prometheus.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger would jump off a tall building and land in your beer.
Yes, he'd yell something, stick a knife in me or something.
Yes.
I'm done or something. That's Commando, right?
No, Last Action Hero.
Oh my god. Okay,
I'm not falling for their black water. I'm going to a very good local brewery instead.
Yeah, I mean...
Man, well, breweries must be hell on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, yeah.
St. Patrick's Day.
Because, I think if you can't find Guinness, your next best bet is just to drink something heavy and hard, which is what people are going to want to do.
Yeah. Like beef stew.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So here's the last one. It's kind of long, but it's interesting.
I am too.
Love it. It's fun whenever I get the chance to scare someone who doesn't know about hard pouring nitro beers, and I just turn the bottle over, especially the ones that freak out, like I'm about to spill a bunch of stout on their tan carpet. I've always had nicely poured draft and shitty poured draft. The difference is surprising. I also love car bombs. Holy shit, I love car bombs. At a concert one time, a friend and I decided we needed to get fucked up because we weren't the ones driving home. So we came up with the IED, a car bomb followed by a Jaeger bomb.
Jesus.
The taste of the two worked surprisingly well together. Put down, I think, 4 of those each and brought some of the... for the bassist and drummer of a band who were friends of ours, and a few beers each over the span of 4 hours. Upon leaving the venue, we found a couple of dudes who had set up in the parking lot with their trailer smoker / grill and were selling barbecue, sausage, and fried bolos. Drunkenness aside, still some of the best I've had, but it made for a nice end of a fun night. Guinness is a beer I could live with for the rest of my life. No doubt.
I swear, I thought that story was going to end with them those two dudes.
No, it's like...
It's a story about success. It's like, when life gives you lemons, you throw those lemons away and you drink Guinness.
What?
Get to the top. Your Gentleman Fund, head over to www.theobscuregentleman.com. And if you'd like to help support this podcast and the webcomic, please visit www.patreon.com/theobscuregentleman. We thank you for listening.
Like, people are like, that looks like fun.
Okay.
I mean, it's the 50s, so...
Gee darn it, that's a whole barrel of monkeys.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess that's what a 50s father would say.
Yes. He's wearing very high socks, he's got a pipe, and he's reading a newspaper, and he's about to beat his wife and child savagely.
you burned the meatloaf, darling, so, yeah. I'm sorry I gotta do this.
Jesus Christ.
Meanwhile, in Ireland, they're just... You got pregnant ladies going to pubs.
Yeah.
Drinking Guinness, because it's good for you. Guinness is good for you.
It is good
for you.